السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، سيدنا مولانا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا، قائد الغر المحجلين وشفيع المذنبين، وسيدي ولدي آدم ولا فخر، محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد، so الحمد لله we are into fairly deep territory within our sessions entitled The Journey is the Destination. And we had chosen this title, I think, in some way to sort of counter the prevailing sentiment or paradigm out there that life is sort of this linear progression and you are making your way to achieving your goals, and if you fall short of achieving your goals and you haven't reached your destination, then somehow you yourself as a person fall short. And we wanted to counter that kind of prevailing sentiment, what we understand from our prophetic teachings of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the journey itself is the destination, that whatever you may encounter throughout your hours or your days or your weeks or your months, your years, there's always going to be a qadar, there's going to be a divine decree and a destination of itself within that particular instance in time. And so our hope then, as we go throughout life, is to be grateful for all of these instances that were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to show that proper gratitude by using those blessings and the time that we've been given, as long as it might be, as we remain on this earth, to worship in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that is worthy of being worshipped. That He asks us to implement and stay away from those things He asks us to stay away from. And then to sort of capstone all of that with gratitude and patience and fortitude and forbearance, and know that we are between asabi' al-Rahman, between the metaphoric or allegorical fingers of the Rahman. So we are between qabd and bast. We may be between expansion and constriction, and we may be between jalal and jamal, we may be between the divine attributes of magnificence and the divine attributes of beauty. And we may be between khawf and raja', be between fear and hope. And so this is the sha'n al-insan. This is the matter, this is the human condition. And for us to expect otherwise would be foolhardy of us to think that it's always going to be great, or it's always going to be sad, or it's always going to be euphoric, or it's always going to be dismal, but rather this dunya is mutaqallib, right? And that which the faculty we use by which to interpret and to make our way through this dunya, through this life, al-qalb, was named as such. لَنَّ الْقَلْبُ يَتَقَلَّبْ يَتَقَلَّبْ حَيْثُ يَقَلِّبُهُ اللَّهُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. Right, this qalb, this heart of ours, is something that oscillates, that's back and forth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will determine in which direction and how and so forth. And as we get through some of this text, we'll see at the higher levels of consciousness that there will be more of an appreciation for this, that the affair is less about what you can do, what you can't do, and how well you can do things, and more about acceptance and submission to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for you. And this is the meaning of Islam. Al-Islam, yani al-Istislam. Islam means to submit. So ultimately it means to submit in all of the myriad aspects of what that means. So we talk about meanings of tawheed, and we talk about meanings of tashreed, and we talk about meanings of tafreed, right? Tawheed and tuwahidahu, right? To see that there is no other deity worthy of worship of Allah, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He alone is the sovereign over the universe. And tajreed, right, is to see no other than Him, and is to put ourselves in a state, يعني نتجرد عن سواه, so that we are not preoccupied by anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, التفريد, and تفرده, right, as the hadith mentioned, سبق المفردون, So تفرده, to make him one and unique, and in essence not see anything really and not be present with anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يحققنا بهذه المعاني. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who actualize, inshallah, these meanings within us. So we were looking at, when we left off, the maqamat of khawf, the different stations or understandings or levels, let's call them levels of consciousness, is probably a better and more universal term than station. Dealing with how we contend with our fear, and at a higher level we would call it preoccupation and reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we went through the first maqam, or the first level of consciousness, which is to think about the consequences, in other words, how it's going to affect you. So we're talking about fear of hellfire and hope for paradise. And in the second maqam, he says, after there is some nur al-tawfiq al-basira, right, that we've been enlightened and given the success for our insight to begin to comprehend things on a higher level than just outward consequences, then we begin to become more inclined towards darul khuld, to the life of eternity, the next life, and less inclined toward the hayat al-dunya, to the life of this life. And then at the third maqam, and he says here, after you have thought about how close you are to death, and you begin to find your way out in what he calls the realm of your contemplation, جَالَ فِكْرُكَ فِي حُسْنِ عَوَائِدِ مَنْ مَضَى, and thinking about those that have come before us and what has happened to them, then you begin to have a more ذوقي, as he says here, a more type of consciousness that is not just based upon intellectual acknowledgement, but you begin to taste, oh, my ajal is qareeb, I really could die at any moment. And when you have a ذوقي معرفة, things become more immediate and more present and less absent. So if you make a rational intellectual determination about something, you remember it, you recall it, but it's not something that kind of stays with you all the time. But when you have this ذوقي معرفة, then it's something that doesn't actually leave you. It kind of stays with you, and you're not absent from it. And this is when we talked about some of the paradoxical things that are not paradoxes, hopefully, as we explained, where you can find presence in absence and absence in presence. So presence with Allah in the absence of others, and the absence of others in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so forth. And then he went on to the maqam al-raba, the level, the fourth level of consciousness, which is to have a ta'alluq with the qada and the khitam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written you as you will be, as you are. And then all the things that are happening to you now are not things on the most or the highest metaphysical level things that you do, but rather the things that have been decreed for you. And then you see that your a'mal are alamat. You see that your deeds are signs that you are on the right way, that you're on the right path, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed you from al-muflihin. He has made you from the muflihin, from those who will find felicity and success, insha'Allah. And that takes us to the maqam al-khamis, where we left off, where he says, rahimahullah, فَإِذَا نَظَرْتَ بِنُورِ فِكْرِكَ فِي الْعَظَمَةِ وَالْجَلَالِ وَالْعِزَّةِ وَالْكَمَالِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْإِقْتِدَارِ وَإِتْقَانِ صَنَاعِ الْجَبَّارِ لم تنظر ببصيرتك لخوف عذاب ولا تشغل فكرك بخوف عقاب فتطرح نفسك بين يدي ويأبى قلبك النظر إلا إليه سبحانه وتسكن تحت ظل الأقدار سكونا مجردا عن خوف الوعيد ولا يكون لك خوف إلا البعد والحجاب فتستنشق نسيم الهيبة والتعظيم وتلقي عنك كل مراد وتعلم يقينا أن ربك هو المريد وأنت المراد. So, by the way, those of you can, hopefully some of you have some semblance of understanding the Arabic. He is even though it sounds he's very charismatic and he's quite eloquent, which he is, you also get a sense that despite the, you know, rannanat al-alfaz, which is kind of the poetic manner by which he speaks, but he's also talking from a deep place of understanding and comprehension, which is rare to find, actually. So he says, فَإِذَا نَظَرْتَ بِنُورِ فِكْرِكَ فِي الْعَظَمَةِ وَالْجَلَالِ. So if you look by the light of your contemplation in the azama and the jalal, and these are attributes of jalal, right? Azama, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the magnificence of God. So look with your light of contemplation. وَالْعِزَّةِ وَالْكَمَالِ, also al-izzah, sifa al-jalaliyah. So the izzah and the kamal and the perfection of God. وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْإِقْتِدَارِ, and the wisdom and the omnipotence of Allah. وَتْقَانْ صَنَاعِ الْجَبَّارِ, and the perfection of all of the صَنَاعَ al-masnu'at, all that Allah has created, al-jabbar, right, the subduer or the compeller, another jilali sifa. So if you do all of that, لَمْ تَنْظُرْ بِبَصِيرَتِكَ لِخَوْفِ عَذَابٍ, then your basira, your inner eye, your spiritual insight will be less concerned. He says, لَمْ تَنْظُرْ, you will not look, لِخَوْفِ عَذَابٍ, you will not look at the idea of the khawf of the azab, of the fear of punishment, of consequence. Is that because you're not afraid of it and it doesn't exist and it may not happen to you and you feel like you're safe from it? Not at all. It's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is, and as he said in you know, the Arabic proverb he mentioned in the previous session, إِنَّ بَعْضَ الشَّرْ أَهْوَنْ مُنْ بَعْضٍ, right? Some evil is more palpable than others, right? Is less severe than others. So here, you become more busy, right? So here again, it's about ghaiba and hudur. So there's a type of ghaiba, there's a type of absence from what would be a lower level of consciousness of just thinking about questioning the adab and punishment and so forth, into a higher level of consciousness, right? Hudur ma al-wahid al-jabbar. Now you're becoming, your basira is functioning at a higher level. So not looking at al-af'al, right? So af'al would be acts and deeds, but you're looking at asma' wa-sifat. You're looking at the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of the af'al, all of the things, all of the comings and goings and happenings of dunya and akhirah are just functions, what we call tajalliyat, right? Manifestations of as-sifat, manifestations of the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a higher level of consciousness, and some authors have even referred to this as maratib al-tawheed, so levels of tawheed. At the basic level, which is called tawheed al-af'al, which is what they call wilaya sughra, it's still a rutba of wilaya, it's still a rank of being a wali, is to see that all acts are one. All acts are divine in origin. And you don't see any independent actors out there. And for the vast majority of people, they're not even at that place, because that's wilaya. Sometimes they call it wilaya sughra, right? As the minor wilaya, or the first step, or the first foothold, awul qadam, in wilaya, and having this more intimate, profound relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then higher than this, a higher level of consciousness, is tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat. Right, the tawheed, sometimes they split those two up, the names and the attributes, sometimes they put them together. When they split them up, they see the names and then the attributes, because the names are many and the attributes generally are fewer, and then the names are functions of the attributes. But for our purposes, let's just think about them in the same rank. So tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat, which is then to, as he says here, seeing the jabbar and seeing his hikmah and his iqtidar. So it's seeing everything as a tajalli, right? And when Musa alayhi salam asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jahra, right, to see Allah, Allah redirected him and said, لَكِنْ أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ, right, look to the mountain. And the mountain to us is something that's immovable. What can, and then the mountain looks like it doesn't move and looks like it doesn't change, looks like it's just, you know, it's an anchor for the earth, and it stays there and it doesn't move, and can't imagine that a power can overcome it. But then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala redirected him to looking to the mountain, like in Undur al-Jabali, فَإِنَّ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If it stays in its place, then you will see me. فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا وخر موسى صعقا. So when Allah تجلى للجبل, right? So تجلي الصفة, so a manifestation of some aspect of attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or attributes. So obviously it was his will, his intent, his power, his iqtidar, this tajalli on the jabal, ja'alahu dakka. It was completely destroyed, like it was never there. Wa kharra Musa sa'iqa. Right? So that was just from the tajalli of Allah, of the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even gazing upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's for this reason when they talk about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما زاغ البصر وما طغى, right? And in the Laylat al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, and according to Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, Allah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, saw Allah, right? Not just tajalli, but saw him in a way that was commensurate with Allah's majesty. And then the Quran in Surah Al-Najm says, ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى. You know, his sight, his vision did not swerve. So this is, it's generally acknowledged, it's one of the dalail, one of the evidences that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of prophets, and in fact the greatest of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, back to this, so if you are at the higher level of consciousness with your basira, lam tushghil fikraka bi khawf, right? You're not going to be busy thinking about fear of consequences because you're busy thinking about something else. So it's not a dismissal of the idea of عذاب النار وعذاب القبر. Those are haq, they're undeniable. But your consciousness is busier with thinking something of a higher level of connection. So لم تشغل فكرك بخوف عقاب فتطرح نفسك. So you're not thinking about خوف العقاب, not that it doesn't exist as we said, but you're not busy thinking about that. فتطرح نفسك بين يدي. So instead you throw yourself before God, بين يدي الله سبحانه وتعالى. ويأبى قلبك النظر إلا إليه سبحانه. Right? And your heart refuses to look and see anything else except Allah. So even Allah's punishment, Allah's reward, there are still things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not Allah. Allah is something and these things are something else. They are creations of Allah. And everything that is not Allah is a creation of Allah. Right? Because we have the two categories, as we said, as the theologians talk about. You have Allah, وَكُلِّ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ. So you have Allah and then everything besides Him. So الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ وَالْعِقَابِ وَالْعِذَابِ and all of وَالْعِتَابِ وَالسُؤَالِ الْمَلَكَيْنِ. All of those things of السَّمَعِيَاتِ, all of those things of the next life, which are real and are haqq, and should provoke at least fear and trepidation within us, they are haqq, they're true, but not in the same sense as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are creations of Allah, and then we have Allah Himself, Azza wa Jal. So at this level of consciousness, and we're already, this is the highest level, so to speak, يَأْبَى اللَّهُ قَلْبُكَ إِلَّا النَّظَرْ إِلَيْهِ. So you do, your heart will not look to anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وتسكن تحت ظل الأقدار سكونا مجردا عن خوف الوعيد. So accompanied with this type of fear is a sukoon, he says. So there's a serenity تحت ظل الأقدار, right? Under the shadow of الأقدار, of the decrees of God. سكونا مجردا عن خوف الوعيد. So it's a sukoon, it's a type of tranquility that does not have, it's not colored by just the mere fear of the wa'id, right? The fear of the threat, of the consequence that may happen to you. It's a different type of fear. So a fear that's mixed with sukoon, right? Mixed with serenity and tranquility. That's different than just the fear of consequence, which would usually be accompanied by trepidation. وَلَا يَكُونُ لَكَ خَوْفٌ إِلَّا الْبُعْدُ وَالْحِجَابَ. Right? And then you have no fear except Al-bu'du, distance, wal-hijab, to be veiled, right? From whom? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? This is what we talk about, you know, the higher consciousness of the himam, of the aspirations. So it's not just I want to get my deeds right, I also want to get my thoughts right. And I want to get my aspirations right. I don't want to aspire to something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to be busied with something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want anything else to take my attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fear then of bu'd and of hijab, of to be veiled from God. Some of the awliya, she said that if I didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every night in my dream, لَمْ أُعُدَّ نَفْسِي مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَقَمَا قَالَتْ. She said, if I didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every night dreaming, then I wouldn't think I was a believer anymore. That's a higher level. That's their level of fear. Fear of losing the love of the one that you love. Fear of losing the love of the beloved. فَتَسْتَنْشِقَ نَسِيمَ الْهَيْبَةِ وَالتَّعْظِيمِ. Right? And then you take a whiff of the breeze, the spring breeze of Hayba and Ta'zim. Hayba means, again, these are all Jalali attributes because we're still talking about fear. Hayba, which is to revere God. What Ta'zim is to see God as great. But then there's also a sukoon, as he said earlier, a tranquility that's accompanied with that. And usually when we say, when we use this type of phraseology, فَتَسْتَنْشِقْ نَسِيمَ الْهَيْبَةِ وَالتَّعْظِيمِ, we will think it's a Jamali kind of metaphor. It's a metaphor of beauty, but here he uses it in as a metaphor of magnificence. So it's still a Naseem. Naseem we associate with like a spring breeze, something subtle and nice and beautiful. So there is a beauty in the Jalal, right? There's a beauty about Allah's Jalal. And some of them even said, like Ibn Arabi radiallahu anhu, al-Hatimi, that we don't really see the Jalal of Allah. It's not manifested to us because it'd be too great for us. In other words, the pure Jalal. But rather, we are seeing the Jalali side of the Jamal. So Allah for us in this, as far as our exposure is concerned, it's all Jamal. But sometimes we get exposed to a higher Jamali side and sometimes to a Jalali side of that. So this Hayba and Ta'zim. And if you think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually capable of, and then compare that to what we actually receive, it's hard not to accept that argument that we're seeing just the Jamali side of the Jalal. What would the true Jalal of Allah look like? It's something we couldn't even handle. If Musa alayhi salam, you know, from the five greatest prophets, and just the tajalli of the on the mountain wasn't not enough for him to fathom at that particular moment, then what about the rest of us? فَتَسْتَنْشِقَ نَسِيمَ الْهَيْبَةِ وَالتَّعْظِيمُ وَتُلْقِي عَنْكَ كُلَّ مُرَادٍ. Right? And then everything that is murad, everything that you thought you wanted or thought that you desired, doesn't mean anything anymore. You don't desire it. وَتَعْلَمَ يَقِينًا. And then you know for certain, right? Here is a ذَوْقِي certainty, right? A مُشَاهَدِي certainty. تَعْلَمَ يَقِينًا أَنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْمُرِيدُ وَأَنْتَ الْمُرَادُ. Then you know for certain Allah is the one who is the murid. Allah is the one who is the one who wills and intends and desires. Wa anta al-murad, and you are the intended and the desired and the one who is willed upon. That's different than thinking I do, I see, I make, I do, so forth. فَتَسْمَحُ بِنَفْسِكَ وَتُسَلِّمُهَا لِلْأَحْكَامِ لِتَحَوُّلِكَ الْأَقْدَارُ كَالْبَيِّتِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِّ الْغَسَّالِ يُقَلِّبُهُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. So then when you're at this maqam, at this higher level of consciousness, تَسْمَحُ بِنَفْسِكَ, you permit yourself, وَتُسَلِّمُهَا, right, and you submit it, you surrender it, لِلْأَحْكَامِ, right, what are الْأَحْكَامِ? أَحْكَامِ اللَّهِ الْكَوْنِيَّةِ. Before it was أَحْكَامِ اللَّهِ التَّكْلِيفِيَّةِ. أَحْكَامِ اللَّهِ التَّكْلِيفِيَّةِ, Allah says, اِفْعَلْ وَلَا تَفْعَلْ, صَلِّي زَكِّي كَذَا. هَذَا مَفْرُوغ مِنْهُ. This is something definitely you keep doing. But then there is this تسليم للأحكام الكونية. Right? When Allah says, كُن فَيَكُون, then there's a different type of surrendering. This is the hardest type of surrendering. Right? To your أقدار, to your decree, to your circumstances. لِتَحَوُّلِكَ الْأَقْدَارُ. Right? To under the divine decree. And you become like الميت بين يدي الغسال. يُقَلِّبُهُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. Just like the dead body before the ghassal, before the one who's washing the body, before putting it into its funeral shrouds and burying the body. So the mayyit doesn't do anything, right? You're going to have wudu done to you, and you're going to have ghusl done to you, and these are things when you're alive you did for yourself. But when you're before the ghassal, the one who's doing it for you, هو يوضئك وهو يغسلك. Right? He is the one who's performing wudu and ghusl upon you, so you're just accepting of that. So this is the type of surrender and acceptance he's talking about. ولا يترك استغراقك في مننه وإجالة فكرك في عظمته بلا يقين منك فضلا للوقوف مع رسمك والرجوع إلى ذاتك وتغيب عن الخوف من عقابه والرجاء في ثوابه. He says, ولا يترك استغراقك في مننه وإجالة فكرك في عظمته بلا يقين منك فضلا للوقوف مع رسمك والرجوع إلى ذاتك. So he said this level of consciousness, which is signified by what? الاستغراق في المنن. To be totally submerged and encompassed and aware of all of the things you have to be grateful for that are around you. This is what we call المنن, المنة. Right? المنة لله وحده. What did the A'rab say in the Quran? يمنون عليك أن أسلموا كل لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين. So the Arab said, you know, يمنون عليك أن أسلموا. They say to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يمنون, like, oh, you guys, you should be happy we became Muslim, right? Islam is in owes us a debt because we decided to join it, right? Which is the attitude of some people today. But this was the attitude of the Arab, the desert Bedouins. What did Allah respond back to them? قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيْهِ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Right? You're not adding anything. Allah doesn't owe you anything because you decided to accept the truth and al-haq. You're the ones who should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has guided you to this way. So any guidance then that we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely due to Him. And any realizations or futuhat or anything like that, it's completely due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this istighraq fil minan, right? So you are kind of swimming within in the sea of gratitude or gratefulness. Wa ijalati fikrika fi azamatihi, right? And the and your ijal of the fikr fil azama, right? And your also, you're roaming around your contemplation in the azama, in the greatness, the jalali aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bila yaqeen in mink, which I think is a typo. I can't see how the word yaqeen works here in this sentence. Trying to think what that typo word could be instead. But in ma'na, the meaning is that these two things, as you are, doesn't leave space, fadlan, right, leaves any space for you, للوقوفي مع رسمك والرجوع إلى ذاتك, right, to just stop at the level of your rasm. So when Ahl al-Tasawwuf, they talk about the rasm, it's talking about kind of your attributes, my things, my way, my personality, my generosity. This is called, all of this is part of rasm, right? So there's no majal, there's no space for you to just be left with standing at this place of rasm, right? At this place of attribution and affiliation of things with yourself. That's no longer, because you're swimming in the azama and in the minan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're encompassed in that. وَالرُّجُوعِ إِلَى ذَاتِكَ, nor to go back to yourself, right? Because now it's all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَغِيبُ عَنِ الْخَوْفِ مِنْ عِقَابِهِ وَرَجَائِ فِي ثَوَابِهِ. Right, and as a result, taghib, then the fear of the consequence, even though it's true, and the hope in the reward, even though it's true, is absent from that level, higher level of consciousness, right, when you're operating at that level of consciousness. ثم يقول فهذا مقام السالكين السادات والأكابر. This is the place of the سالكين, those who are making suluk, السادات, right, the سادات, they are the true leaders. والأكابر and the true champions الذين هم الكنز والدخائر تنخفض دون أعالي هذا المقام همم أكثر السالكين. So these people are like the treasures, and they have the sense of regality about them, تنخفض دون أعالي هذا المقام همم أكثر السالكين. Most of the salikin don't reach this maqam. Their himma does not think about that this is a place that they can be. Why? Because even at those lower levels, في بقية نفس, there's still something of the nafs. There's still something of the I and the ego. And as long as that remains, you can't see this. You can't reach that. And most people who still have part of that I, they'll say like, oh, if everything is predetermined and Allah is the one who's doing everything and I'm receiving everything, then what's left for me? Right? And that's a common question. And that question we would answer theologically in a particular way. But when we're talking about suluk, and when we're talking about this particular space in the trying to achieve this highest level of consciousness, that type of question means you don't understand what he's talking about. It means you haven't tasted what he's talking about. You haven't reached that yet. If you still think like, well, where's the space for I and me? Because here, we're not talking about I and me anymore. It's no longer in the conversation. That's what he means by الاستغراق في المنن وإجالة الفكر في العظمة, right? And عدم الوقوف مع الرسم. Those words mean like there's no nafs anymore, right? The nafs has become completely subdued and it's more or less given up. But as long as something of the nafs remains and there's the I and the me, then it's going to say, hey, what about me? Where do I stand in all of this? Whereas someone at this level is completely contented not to have anything of I or me, right? This is what we mean by maqam al-rida and maqam al-mahabba, or we should say maqam al-mahbubiyya, to realize that you are mahbub. You know, in the very famous hadith Qudsi of mahabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said that there's nothing more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the servant to do to come close to Allah. أن يتقرب إلي إلا مما افترضته عليه ليس أحب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى يقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى إلا ما افترضته عليه أو كما قال. There's nothing more beloved for the servant to do to go closer to Allah سبحانه وتعالى except to fulfill that which he has made obligatory upon them, which he has obligated upon them. So that's doing things, right, that Allah loves. And it's for you to get close to Allah to do the things that he loves, which is to do the fara'id, which is to do the obligatory things. And then he said, وَلَا يَزَالُ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. Right? And my servant proceeds to get closer to me by doing the nawafil. So the nawafil here means things that are not obligatory, things that you choose. Right? And some of the ulama of this sha'n, of this matter, they said, really the obligatory things, in a sense, yes, the reward is greater because they are things that are obligatory, but the things that you choose to do that Allah has not obligated to you, there's a different type of reward for that, right? And there's a different sort of spiritual plane you're operating upon when you choose to do things even Allah has not asked you to do. And one of those things is to receive, as mentioned in this hadith, the mahabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what happens after that, the rest of the hadith? وَلَا يَزَيْعَ الْعَبْدِ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى بِمَا بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. Right? Then it says, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ, then if I love him. In the first part of the hadith, if I love the acts that the person does, the acts. But now, it's about loving that, the essence of the abd, the servant. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصْرُهُ الَّذِي يَبْصُرُ بِهِ وَيَدُهُ الَّذِي يَبْطُشُ بِهَا وَجُهُ الَّذِي يَمْشِي عَلَيْهَا, so forth. Then I become the hearing by which he hears, and the seeing by which he sees, and the hand by which he strikes, and the feet by which he walks. So that level of consciousness is called sometimes al-mahbubiyya, right? Like he said earlier, وَتَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ الْمُرِيدُ وَأَنْتَ الْمُرَادُ, to know he is the one who is intending, and he is divining, and you are the murad, you are receiving. So to be a mahbub is higher than to be just the muhib. So the muhib, there's still ana uhib, I love, I want, I love Allah. But higher than this is to be mahbub, to say Allah loves me. And then when Allah loves you, then the I goes away, and then it's just you and Allah. And then it's not just you, then it's just Allah. That's what it means when he becomes your hearing and your seeing and your so forth. All of your acts and your himam and everything becomes one, not physically with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's impossible, but in a spiritual sense becomes one because it conforms to to divine intent, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for you if you're from Ahlul Inayah, if you're from that class of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given His specific Inayah, His specific attention to. So he says most people don't get to that. أكثر السالكين, their himma does not reach that. وَلَا يَرْقَاهُ إِلَّا مَشَايِخُ الْعَارِفِينَ. And in fact, only the mashayikh of the arifin, right? People who are, you know, the leaders and scholars and the wise of the arifin, they reach this maqam. So you could be a type of arif and not have this maqam, right? You could be something less. But mashayikh al-arifin, this is what they reach. وَفَوْقَهُ مَقَامَاتٌ عَلِيَاتٌ يَعْجِزُ عَنِ الْعُرُوجِ إِلَيْهَا السِّدِّيقُونَ وَالرُّحَانِيُونَ لا يستطاع العروج إليها إلا بنور الاصطفاء والاجتباء لأنها درجات النبيين عليهم الصلاة والسلام. He said, and above this, there's other maqamat, aliyat, higher than this. And you probably wonder, what's higher than that? يعجز عن العروج إليها. Even the siddiqun والروحانيون, right, which are classes of awliya, they can't reach it. إلا بنور, except by the nur of اصطفاء والاجتباء. Except by the light of istifa, divine choice and selection. لَنَّهَا دَرَجَاتُ النَّبِيِّينَ or النَّبِيِّينَ as he says here, same thing, نَبِيِّينَ نَبِيِّينَ because it is from the ranks of the prophets عليهم السلام. لَا مَطْمَعَ لِأَحَدٍ بَعْدَهُمْ فِي مُلَاحَظَتَيْهَا وَذَوْقِهَا إِلَّا بِمَشَامِ الرِّيحِ. So we know that prophethood, and we talked about this earlier in the two sessions, we talked about prophecy and prophetology, that you can't work your way up to prophethood. You know, it's not a maqam to be reached, something Allah selects you for. And we know there's no prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's not something, obviously, he's talking about. He's not saying you can reach that. But what he does say is, لَا مَطْمَعَ لِأَحَدٍ بَعْدَهُمْ. So there's no way to reach that for anyone after them. فِي مُلَاحَظَتِهَا وَذَوْقِهَا, right, in noticing it and tasting this maqam, إِلَّا بِمَشَامِ الرِّيحِ, except by smelling something of it. Masham al-riyah, right? And it's said that the sense of smell or things that we smell, even it's perhaps the most subtle of senses, but it's also amongst the most certain. And physiologists and scientists and so forth have tied sense of smell as being the strongest one associated with memory. So if you, you know, if you smelled something as a child, a particular smell, whether it be fragrant or otherwise, and then you smell it again later, then you tie that memory to that earlier period. So here he said, Masham al-Riyah, right? So you smell something of the fragrance of prophethood. فَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ عَلَيْهُمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَلْقِهِ. For the prophets are the hujjah of Allah, right? They're the proof of God for the khalq, for creation. وَالدُّعَاتُ إِلَى أَمْرِهِ. And they're the ones who preach towards his command. فَهُمْ سَادَاتُ الْخَلْقِ. So they are the leaders of mankind, وَأَهْلُ حَقِيقَةِ الْحَقَائِقِ, and they are the folk or the people of the reality of all realities. أَعْطَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ مَعْرِفَتِهِ فَوْقَ مَا أَعْطَانَا وَكَسَاهُ مِنَ الْحَيَاءِ فَوْقَ مَا كَسَانَا. Allah gave them in terms of ma'rifah more than what He gave us, and He has dressed them in modesty more than He has dressed us. وَسَقَاهُمْ مِنْ شَرَابِ أُنْسِهِ فَوْقَ مَا سَقَانَا. And He has given them of the drink of uns, of intimacy with God, more than He's given of us. فَقَطْرَةٌ مِّن شَرَابِهِمْ قَطْرَةٌ اخْتَطَفَهَا الصِّدِّيقُونَ وَالرُّحَانِيُّونَ وَالْأَوْلِيَاءُ وَالْأَبْدَالِ ثُمَّ مَنْ يَلِيهِمْ فِي الرُّتْبَةِ فَسَكِرُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا سَكْرَةً دَوَّرَتْ سَلَاطِينُ عُقُولِهِمْ وَعَلِقَتْ مِنْهَا أَلْبَابُهُمْ وَمِنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَطْمَحَ بِبَصَرِهِ إِلَيْهِمْ مِمَّنْ هُوَ دُونَهُمْ فِي الرُّتْبَةِ إِنَّمَا حَرَّكَهُ وِجْدَانُ الرَّائِحَةِ. So He's given them more in all of these things. فَقَثْرَةٌ مِّن شَرَابِهِمْ. So one drop of their drink, of what they received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the siddiqun and the ruhaniyun wal awliya wal abdal, all classes of awliya, ranks of awliya, they picked up that one drop. اختطفها. They picked it up. ثُمَّ مَنْ يَلِيهِمْ فِي الرُّتْبَةِ. And then those that come after them in rank. فَسَكِرُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. All of them were inebriated on this, right? They became intoxicated with it. And this type of euphoria intoxication is one of love, of mahabbah, not a physical intoxication. But even one drop from the drop of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is enough. Look for all of these billions of people to to sustain them and open all of these doors, because we know and we believe with certainty that any futuhat, any karamat, any of those things that happen to anyone from the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's a direct result, an extension of the mu'jiza and the miracles of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they're not independent of themselves. It's only in as much as they are an extension of that which was given to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So as much as you are following the command and the way in the sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you'll have access to that. And as much as you do not, you will not. فَسَكِرُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا سَكْرَةً. Right, they all دَوَّرَتْ سَلَاطِينَ عُقُولِهِمْ. So the sultan of their uqul, right, the sultan of their intellects, وَعَلِقَتْ مِنْهُمْ مِنْهَا أَلْبَابُهُمْ. And they all became attached to it. Because once you become attached to that, let's call it al-qatra al-muhammadiyya, that drop of pure Muhammadin ma'rifah, you will not settle for anything else after that. You can't taste anything else after that. You will not see anything else as worthy after that. وَلِذَلِكْ عَلِقَتْ مِنْهَا أَلْبَابُهُمْ. So the hearts became connected forever. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَطْمَحَ بِبَصَرِي إِلَيْهِمْ. And whoever wants to see them, مِمَّنْ هُوَ دُونَهُمْ فِي الرُّتْبَةِ إِنَّمَا حَرَّكُهُ وِجْدَانُ الرَّائِحَةِ. Right, and when you see people like this and you want to see more of it, what is the thing that moved you to want to see the awliya and be with them and people who are followers of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Wujdan hadhi ar-ra'iha. You smelled something of that, of this pure, fragrant Muhammadan ma'rifah, knowledge. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us at least a qatra. It was enough for the rest of the awliya wal abdal. والروحانيين والصديقون. So why would it not be enough for the rest of us? إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. الحمد لله رب العالمين. So we'll stop here, inshallah.